Well, it's been a wild 48 hours, and who better to try to make sense of it than our 9 News Broncos insider Mike Kliss, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. All right, Mike, as best you can, explain the inexplicable.
I was going to say, don't ask me to explain it. It all started with these guys wanting to do extra credits. You know, it was their minds. Yeah, their hearts were in the right place. They wanted to watch some extra film. And then Driscoll, one of them, tested positive the next day. And so the other guys, were in the contact tracing. The team sent the surveillance video of the meeting to the league on Friday morning. The league took, Thanksgiving was already over. I don't buy that excuse for the delay in timing. But the league took almost 30 hours to review and come to its conclusion.
I agree. Too long.
Yeah, that all those guys, Bortles, Locke, and Rippon, were in violation. I mean, they made a subjective. There was some subjectivity here. You know, Locke, Rippon, and Bortles were socially distanced most of the time, from what I understand. They wore masks most of the time, from what I understand. But apparently not often enough, as judged by NFL medical officers. And so they dinged them from the game. And they have tested positive, or they have tested negative. It makes you wonder why they bother testing every day. They've been negative for over 120 straight days, Locke and Rippon have, and over 2 months for Bortles. But it didn't matter. It was all about this one instance where they were in close contact with Driscoll. And because it was contained to one room and the league did not think it was spread among the team, they thought it was safe to play the game. And they didn't care that it was the quarterback room. I think the league cares about the integrity of competition, but not when it comes to A, revenue involved in putting the game on TV, and B, the health of the players. Maybe I got those two flipped around, but they felt it was safe to play if you took the quarterbacks out.
Yes.
And yes, they said right. It, you know, and you put the game on, and they got this future TV contract coming up
yes,
in a year or two.
They do.
And they don't want the networks to lose money, which would have happened if they didn't broadcast the game.
Yep.
And the integrity of competition was obviously a farce. It was a calamity yesterday. But the league, I think, thinks they won because the game went off.
Because the game was played. Right.
Yep. Yeah. That's the way
Mike,
I think.
Mike, when you look at health versus safety – Yeah, sorry. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. Mike. No. You're fine now.
You're good? Okay, Mike, when you look at health versus safety, you know, I think the league this year asked a lot of guys, hey, you know what, if you want to opt out right now, go ahead and opt out right now, but understand that there is some health concerns going into this season. But yesterday, it became a question of the safety of players, especially offensive linemen, running backs, you know, Phillip Lindsay's banged up, wide receivers as well, just not having a time in with a quarterback. And do you think that the league is going in the right direction, just kind of really keeping their head down and saying, hey, you know what, as long as a guy doesn't catch, as long as we don't have players out there with COVID, we could go on and continue to play the games, doesn't matter who's out there for whatever organization?
Yeah, I was fearing for the health and safety of Kendall Hinton. I mean, the game looked like it was way too fast for him. And you know, the guy hadn't played quarterback in 2 years in college. And 2 years ago, it was reaching the point where he had to, you know, he was better off switching to receiver. Wasn't going well at quarterback. I mean, that's who the Broncos had to use. I mean, he looked small out there, and it looked like the game was just way too fast for him. And then you're right, you know, when you put 9 guys in the box, it puts everybody else in harm. And that's an issue that's going on right now with the Baltimore Ravens and the Steelers. The Ravens, I think, they're only going to dress 37, 38 guys, something like that, 47, 40. I, you know, I, I think they're going to be down less than the 46. That puts players in because you got to play too much, you know, some of these guys. And I'm sure they're going to use practice squad guys that haven't played all year. So, yeah, I don't think the league is looking at safety and health in the spirit of competition. They're looking at the science of the virus, but not the repercussions of health and safety of the disadvantages
right.
that they're putting teams in. And clearly the Broncos were at a physical disadvantage yesterday against the New Orleans Saints. And really, guys, give a little tip of the hat to Sean Payton, Dennis Allen, and the Saints. They didn't run it up.
No, they did not.
Dennis Allen did not overly blitz. You know, had they been playing Greg Williams of the Jets, he would have blitzed every play.
And cheap-shotted. His players hitting after the whistle, doing everything they possibly could.
Hinton would have not finished the game. And, and I didn't think he was going to finish it anyway. But the Saints played it straight up. They didn't rub it in. They could have won 50-0 if they wanted to.
I agree.
And, I thought quietly and understatedly, Sean Payton showed some class yesterday.
I want to ask you about a report that came from Adam Schefter yesterday morning on ESPN's pregame that indicated that, from what he had heard, the Broncos mm-hmm. believed that the absence of ownership had a great deal to do with the decisions that were made and the refusal to accept any of the appeals the Broncos made on Saturday. However indirect, do you think there is a linkage between making the Broncos play the game yesterday without postponement and seemingly the league's increased irritation regarding the Broncos ownership situation? What seems to be increasing irritation? There was the Sports Business Journal piece that obviously came from the league, not from the Broncos and the Tennessee Titans, who were heavily criticized for their ownership arrangements in the piece. Don't you think there is somewhat of a connection there? The fact that the Broncos don't have an owner is not working to their advantage. In fact, it is working to their disadvantage right now.
You know, that may be. I heard, second, third hand about the which Adam said on the air yesterday. All I know is, you know, Joe Ellis and Roger Goodell have a strong, you know, connection. They kind of were groomed together.
They are close friends.
Yeah, they were raised together in the NFL office. I think Joe and Roger worked together on things. I'm sure Joe Ellis and the trustees are frustrated by things. From what I understand, and I'm sure everyone's frustrated and irritated, but they have this litigation from the two oldest daughters involved. And from what I understand, the Broncos basically can't go forward. The league can't go forward with the Broncos ownership until this case is resolved in the Arapahoe County District Court. And because of COVID, it's been delayed. They were supposed to have this case heard on September 1, would have been long out of the way by now. And the Broncos at that position would have either A, started the process of grooming Brittany Bolin to replace Joe Ellis, or B, sell the team. And neither can happen. I mean, an owner doesn't want to buy the Broncos, right? Someone that can afford $3 billion to buy the Broncos isn't going to sink that type of money in if there's this litigation. If there's, if two daughters can upset the apple cart a little bit. So that has to get resolved first. And, you know, the league might be frustrated and all this kind of stuff, but I think it also kind of is chalked up to some of the COVID inconveniences, and the list is a mile long there in sports, let alone society. And they have not been able to, the judge said, because they can't meet in person, they can't have the court hearing.
Right.
And so patience is needed. I don't think, I mean, I've heard a lot of conspiracy theories as to why they made it do it, why they made the Broncos stay at Sunday and not move the game to Tuesday. I really think it comes down to, conspiracy theories aside, it was the league decided it was contained to a quarterback room, and there wasn't spread throughout the team, and
right.
So therefore, that's why they decided to play the game and not delay it, and that it was a quarterback room. There is no provision that it was in, as I think there should be. There should be some kind of provision for quarterback after what we watched yesterday. Hopefully the league realizes that was a farce. And, you know, you got to have a quarterback to have to put on a NFL football game. And, you know, hopefully an adjustment is made. But there was no adjustments made. It was a black and white decision made on a subjective ruling on what took place in that quarterback videotape meeting they had.
Mike, were you surprised that this game was played? And could you just talk to us about what were the Broncos' options at that point? Really, guy, I hear about forfeiting, but from what I'm understanding, if you forfeit, guys don't get paid from either side. Either
That's
club doesn't
correct.
Get paid during the game. So could you just talk to us a little bit about more about that and just let our listeners know?
Yeah, I thought everything, first of all, the game was decided to be played and the quarterbacks were simultaneous, you know, so it wasn't whether I was surprised that the game was played. There wasn't time to think about whether it was surprised. It all kind of all happened. They were taken off they were taken out of the building 15 minutes before practice. The players were realizing Rob Calabrese,
yes,
former Central Florida backup quarterback, ran practice.
And Latavius Murray, roommate, while at Central Florida.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, you know, maybe they needed Calabrese to play to offset Murray yesterday. That would have.
I doubt he would have outrushed him, but
you know,
he probably throws a better.
I heard he's coming off some ACL issues, so. But that got shut down. Was I surprised? And you know, it shouldn't have happened. I know that it shouldn't have happened. I really thought Kendall Hinton was going to play better. If he was a college quarterback, you watch the college game and they move the ball. It's kind of exciting. You know, they're all athletes. You know, they can run around. You know, maybe they could have tried some slants. They could have tried some design quarterback runs to get him going. You know, the slant and the curl route are the easiest passes to complete in the NFL. You know, and there were none of them. They were kind of difficult percentage passes that he had to do, and he wasn't up for them. You know, that's what made it the calamity. To add to what you say, though, Orlando. And I know Fangio put it on the quarterbacks. Well, I think Fangio and the coaching staff should take some blame too, that they weren't better
sure.
prepared for this.
Sure.
I mean, this COVID's been out there since March 12th. You know, you should have had a non-quarterback plan in place. They discussed in camp keeping a quarantine quarterback and they ultimately decided what are the odds?
Well, they miscalculated.
They miscalculated a little bit on that, and it might have been a million to one shot, you know, a confluence of unusual events that led to yesterday. And I don't deny that, but look, safeguards could have been put in place to where the Broncos were more competitive on the field. I thought yesterday was the lowest moment that I've ever seen in Broncos franchise history.
I agree.
That was non-competitive. That was small college offense trying to play against a real good NFL defense. It was a hide your eyes, burn the tape. You know, if I'm Fangio, I don't show the tape to the players this week. It's like that game, guys, that wasn't us.
There's
no point. On to the Chiefs. And good luck there.
Yes. Oh, by the way, yes. Yeah. The Chiefs in Kansas City, where the Broncos, regardless of the site, have lost 10 games in a row to this particular team. I don't know how we continue to talk about this, Mike, and I understand that there aren't perfect solutions, that the argument is made on the front page of the USA Today sports section that the NFL should hit pause for now, given the spike in cases. I think, what is it, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, there have been almost as many cases, positive test results, as there were for the first 10 or 11 weeks of the season. I mean, it's obviously something that's hit us nationally, and the NFL is not immune from that. If you had to make a guess, do you believe that the NFL will be able to play all 256 games? They haven't had to cancel a game yet. Do you think they will, one way or another, get in all 256 games, or will there inevitably, in the closing weeks of the season, have to be cancellations and perhaps different numbers of games played by different teams?
I do think they will play every game, one way or the other, and it might be some schedule adjustments. It might be week 18. It might be moving the Super Bowl back. It might be bubbling up the playoff teams. I do think they'll get it done because of the $7.5 billion in contract revenues that the team gets, and it might be more than that, $9 billion. I think that's why the Broncos, or that's why the NFL is going to go forward. That's what's driving this. I think that's I think that's why the Broncos game wasn't moved back. I think that's why the Ravens haven't. You talk about the health and safety, Orlando. They haven't practiced in 9 days. How safe is that going to be for them to go out there on Tuesday if they continue?
I agree.
I mean, it's unsafe. It's completely unsafe. And yet the league wants to go forward. And to me, it's not only the television deal that they got now, but it's the television deal they want to negotiate with ESPN in 2021 and the other three major networks in 2022. If those networks lose money this year, if they lose money, they're not going to want to bump their revenue fees going forward. They're going to want a discount, and the NFL doesn't want to give a discount. And so that's what I think I hate to say, it's driving it. Now, you know, and these guys are recovering from COVID, you know, it seems like, for the most part. I've always said that it would change if, you know, there would be people dying, you know, active players, active coaches dying from COVID, that would change the mentality of the NFL. Since people are recovering from COVID and they can get these games off one way or the other, I think it's the TV deals and the revenue that is really motivating the NFL to put these games on one way or the other, no matter what.
No matter what. Go ahead, Al.
Before you run, what's your thoughts on the Garrett Bowles deal? Good deal for the team, team friendly. What exactly? And what does this mean for a guy like Justin Simmons as well?
Yeah, I thought it was good on both sides because, you know, for right now, I think Bowles obviously got the better end of the deal.
Yes.
If things return to normal in a couple of years, it'll quickly be a team favorable deal if he keeps playing like he does. of course, it was interesting that he had a holding penalty yesterday, but I think it's good. You know, and what it means for Justin Simmons, one reason why they got the deal done with Garrett Bowles is he didn't ask for number one money.
No, he didn't.
You know, he settled for number four, number five money. if Justin Simmons would ask or come in at number four, number five money, I think there's a there would have been a chance of them getting the deal done during the offseason. It was weird how the negotiation went with Justin Simmons. He asked to be number one. The Broncos countered one time with an offer that wasn't, I think it would have made him number six. And then it just shut down and the teams didn't negotiate anymore. You know, his agent just said that was the tactic they took. So there has to be more ongoing dialogue with Justin Simmons, what he wants. And if he's willing to not take top money, and he has a right to ask for top money, he's one of the best. But if he, it'd be easier to get a deal done if he wants to be the number four or five highest paid safety or number three highest paid safety than if he wants to be number one.
Our thanks, Mike. We really appreciate it, especially today, as always.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Yeah. Our 9 News Broncos insider, Mike Kliss, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook Hotels, McGill's Hotel and Casino. We'll state that again, so we give them the proper credit. Presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino.